From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings to a conclusion an extensive series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the final portion of a message entitled, The Ever-Living and Ever-Giving Christ. As Dr. Cairns pointed out in the introduction to this message, the biography of every man ends with death. Not so with Christ, for having offered up himself as the one perfect sacrifice for sin on the cross, he rose in triumph from the tomb. Now he lives as God incarnate, exalted, enthroned at the right hand of God the Father. According to the Epistle to the Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for his people. He is our advocate. His expectation will not be disappointed, for he must reign until his enemies become his footstool. Best of all, he is coming again. Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion to this message following today's hot topic, the evolutionary theory of origins. One day, nothing decided to become something.
Here's a diatribe from an evolutionist that is breathtaking in its bold assertion of utter untruth as ultimate truth and of abject folly as admirable wisdom. It comes from a self-appointed expert blogging away to make himself important. He tells us, and I quote at length, "There is no complete theory of abiogenesis, that is, spontaneous generation. The general hypothesis is that chemicals can form primitive replicators. Abiogenesis is not a component of the theory of evolution, or germ theory for that matter. The first life form on Earth may have been a lucky accident, a natural property of carbon and liquid water, a unique circumstance seeded by comets or even a divine miracle. The theory of evolution concerns the diversification of life, not its origin. However, it is known that life did not always exist on Earth, but that, once it began, it diversified into a variety of forms. So you can hide God in a gap of human knowledge concerning abiogenesis. The gap should hold for a few more years at least. But why you would want to hide God in ever-shrinking scientific ignorance is beyond me. Seems like rather a small God." Close the quote. So much for the mockery of an evolutionary genius. This is about as good a case as an evolutionist can muster against the reality of God our Creator. But it's utter nonsense. Consider it carefully. First, he argues that the theory of spontaneous generation is not a necessary part of the theory of evolution. In other words, he simply ignores the fundamental question. You say that the universe as it is today is the result of billions of years of evolutionary development. But where did anything come from in the first place? How did it all get started? Evolutionists have no answer to that question at all. The best attempt at an answer is spontaneous generation. That is, that without any outside help, nothing, for no reason, suddenly became something from which everything else developed into the universe as it is today. That sounds a lot like lunacy. The choice is clear. Either the universe was created, or it spawned itself out of nothing. So despite their protest, deniers of a creator are stuck with abiogenesis, spontaneous generation, nothing suddenly deciding to become something. Second, as I think of this statement, we're told that life on Earth could have been a lucky accident. for though the writer sarcastically says it might have been caused by a divine miracle, he goes on to mock the very idea of God. This still ignores the question of where all the ingredients of this lucky accident came from in the first place. Evolution, we're told, deals with the diversification of life, not its origins. He has to say that because he cannot even dream of a viable theory of origins. Then third, it's blatantly untrue that evolution explains the diversification of life and relegates the need for God to the gaps of human knowledge. It's the evolutionist who squirms through the gaps. Think of DNA. This is the master plan for the development of an organism that lies within it. Without it, the organism could not exist or ever have developed. Now, here's the question. Ponder this carefully. How could an organism evolve and store the instructions necessary for its own existence and replication? That's like asking how an organism that does not exist could decide to exist and then to manufacture and store the information needed to secure its ability to replicate itself. Yet this is the folly of evolution that passes off for truth. In arguing this way, we're not seeking to hide God in a few gaps of human knowledge. We're pointing out that existence has no possibility apart from God and his creative power. By its very nature, DNA, indeed every part of God's creation, carries the signature of its creator. And when we look at his gloriously designed works, we see no small God, as the evolutionist charges, but the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. And the Stuart Hines, we exclaim, "My God, how great thou art."
Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
An advocate with the Father. John Bunyan had the idea, not sure how well based it is exegetically, but there's a truth in it nonetheless. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's always sustaining us by his prayers. That's true, but he says Jesus Christ is also our advocate, and for him the advocate meant that Jesus Christ was there particularly to stand for our defense, to stand for our cause. And he drew attention to when Stephen died. What happened? He was lifting up his eyes and he saw the Son of God. Where? Standing. Ah, but hold a second. God said, sit. Paul says, he sat down. But Stephen saw him standing. I personally like to think that the Savior rises to welcome his people home. But Bunyan said, there is the picture of our advocate standing for us in the hour of our greatest need. But when you look at his intercession, remember this, we have a great high priest who is taking our cause before God. He's pleading his blood on our behalf. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He sympathizes with us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. Constantly, he is upholding us. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He pleads for us with absolute authority. It's very interesting in the Greek New Testament. When Jesus asks anything of the Father, there is a verb that he never uses. For that is the asking of a mere suppliant. The verb he uses is a word that denotes familiarity. It denotes equality. It denotes authority. That's how Jesus Christ, our Savior, risen today, intercedes for us. He says, Father, I will that these be with me where I am. And thank God he could say, Thou hearest me always. That's the efficacy of Christ's intercession. With one word I'll be through. We have followed the risen Christ all the way to the throne of glory. We've seen his existence there as the ascended incarnate deity. His entrance into glory, his exaltation there, his employment as our minister and our advocate with God. Just a word about the expectation of Christ in glory. Sit thou on my right hand until. I think that sets the period of Christ's present intercession, and it sets the time when he will come again. Now, I don't know that time, and I can't tell you the day or the date. But just to throw out a little controversy, that's one reason why I have not, ever since I started to study this, it's not the only reason, but it's one reason why I have never believed in the secret pre-tribulation, any moment rapture of the church. You see, God said to the Son, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Dr. Schofield in his Bible, and that's the Bible from which I studied eschatology, and the only preacher I was listening to was a preacher who believed what Schofield believed. Dr. Schofield, reflecting the old Plymouth Brethren, J.N. Darby and others like him, want me to believe that just as the Antichrist is about to rise and come to full power, the Son of God leaves heaven, comes to the earth, snatches up his bride, takes her away for 7 years, during which time the greatest tyranny, the greatest anti-Christian power the world has ever seen, will dominate the earth. But hold a second, God says, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He didn't say sit there until 7 years before the worst of them appears. I think that's clear. But that's eschatology. Not getting into that this morning. He's coming. That's the big thing. He's coming. He's expecting. He's waiting. Paul tells the Hebrews he's coming the second time without sin. Doesn't mean to say he's sinless, just. Oh, that's true. The first time he came with reference to sin to make an atonement, but this time he's coming back again in glory. And he'll live again and rule. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. This is the glorious appearing, the blessed hope of the Church of Jesus Christ. First time he came to suffer, the second time he comes to live and reign in glory. Here's the life of Christ. Starts in a manger. Well, actually it starts in a virgin's womb. When in that irreversible, mysterious miracle of the incarnation, the eternal and infinite God united himself. Can you think of it? United himself in personal union with a single human cell. In due time he was born. He grew in knowledge and wisdom, in favor with God and with men. Set out upon his public ministry, baptized with all the significance we saw in that. Tempted, triumphant. He went about doing good, He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. Today he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's pleading our cause. He's upholding his own nail-pierced hands with an effective plea that we too, the after-runners, will follow him to glory. And he's coming back. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the greatest life that has ever been lived. This is the most important life that has ever been lived. This is the most successful life that has ever been lived. Yes, not in spite of the fact that it led to a cross, because it led to a cross. This is the only saving life, the only redemptive life that was ever lived. This is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God turn our eyes forever upon him. May you never, never, never grow tired of looking to Jesus. May you, with Spurgeon, say, I looked and I felt that I could look my eyes away, looking at him who said, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. In just a moment, this meeting will be over, and you will be free to leave. As we're bowed in prayer, let me say what I've said in prayer meetings and other places, that many ways this for me has been the most challenging job as a preacher, to be able to preach on the life of the Lord Jesus. There's a great feeling of personal failure and inability. There's an old hymn which says, if I could only tell him as I know him, then I'm sure that you would want to know him too. How can I tell him? I can ask you, do you know him? Of all the people who have ever lived, he is the one worth knowing. Oh, I trust that you will come to know him too. May God bless you. If I can help you to understand or seek into the gospel of this blessed Savior, I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. I trust you will come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. When we have done all we can do to speak well of Christ, we confess that we have bumbled and fumbled, and the best words of man are so inadequate. Even thy word says that he is God's unspeakable gift. Oh Lord, we thank thee, however, for what we have read in thy word, even today, that the Lord Jesus is the one who gives repentance. The Lord Jesus is the one who adds disciples to the church. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can open the heart of some Lydia. O God, our Father, therefore, we commend this to thee. Bless thy word, produce fruit to bring people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and encourage the hearts of God's people that they may rejoice in their exalted, enthroned Savior. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy church, both now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.